On the morning of October 7, 2023, as Israel came under attack, a familiar military figure suddenly appeared on television screens across the country, Yair Golan. Dressed in uniform, Golan was seen entering combat zones and assisting in the response to the Hamas massacre. For many Israelis, it was their first real introduction to him. Despite his senior military background, he was far from a household political name. Then something remarkable happened. A massive public relations campaign followed. Almost overnight, Yair Golan transformed from a retired general into one of the most talked about politicians in Israel. He united Labor and Meretz and created the Democrats, a party identified with Israel's Zionist left and liberal camp. Meretz itself had failed to cross the electoral threshold, yet under Golan's leadership the new party now consistently polls between 9 and 12 seats. Whether one agrees with him or not, Golan has proven himself to be an exceptionally skilled politician. He understands modern political marketing, voter outreach and coalition building. In Arab communities, he has even earned a nickname, Abu Yair. His outreach efforts toward Arab citizens are impossible to ignore. Much of his social media presence, including content associated with his party, is published in Arabic. He frequently speaks directly to Arab audiences and has made a clear effort to engage a population of more than 2 million Arab citizens of Israel. This strategy resembles trends seen across Europe and North America, where progressive and liberal parties increasingly compete for minority voting blocs. Supporters view this as inclusive politics and coalition building. Critics see it as placing electoral considerations above the concerns of the Jewish majority. That perception was reinforced for many Israelis following one of Golan's most controversial statements during the war, when he said, "A sane country does not wage war against civilians, does not kill babies as a hobby, and does not set for itself goals of population expulsion." For many Israelis, this was not seen as criticism of government policy, but as an attack on IDF soldiers, the young men and women risking their lives to defend the country. In their eyes, the IDF remains a national consensus and should not be portrayed in such terms. The controversy did not end with public criticism. Following the remarks, Defense Minister Israel Katz ordered that Golan no longer be invited to official IDF activities and barred him from entering military bases in his former capacity. The decision further highlighted the depth of the backlash his comments generated among many Israelis. For many Israelis, statements like these reinforced the belief that parts of the political left are more focused on criticizing Israel than standing with the victims of the massacre, the hostages, fallen soldiers and their families. As a result, many voters feel increasingly disconnected from the Israeli left. Yair Golan remains a strong supporter of the two-state solution. For many on the right, this symbolizes a political camp that continues to believe peace can be achieved through territorial concessions despite the lessons many Israelis drew from the war. Many of Golan's supporters also oppose the settlement movement in Judea and Samaria, viewing it as an obstacle to a future agreement with the Palestinians. Critics argue that this has turned the settlers and pioneers of Judea and Samaria into one of the primary targets of the Israeli left. The Israeli right may strongly disagree with Golan's positions, but dismissing him would be a mistake. He has revived a struggling political movement and established himself as one of the most influential opposition figures in Israel. Israelis should get used to seeing the Democrats, led by Golan, as a significant force in Israeli politics over the next 4 years. Whether the party ultimately finds itself in the opposition or as part of a governing coalition will be decided by voters at the ballot box. What is already clear is that Golan has successfully rallied much of Israel's peace camp, many believers in the Oslo vision and a significant portion of the older generation that once formed the backbone of the labor movement. His voice and the political camp he now leads are likely to remain a prominent part of Israel's national conversation for years to come. Love him or hate him, Abu Yair has become the left's new superstar. Maoz Druskin writes about Israel, democracy and the challenges of national identity in modern societies.